hope you guys like zombie takeout sandwiches, because we'll be eating them for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Welcome to episode 220 of Zombie Takeout, the B-Movie and Cult Movie Podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, we had a bit of very surprising listener submitted.
Yeah, we usually don't go, whoa, when we
submitted. We received an email from Lewin Webb, who is a producer at Samaritan Entertainment Incorporated, who made I Declare War. He worked on the movie, produced it.
Oh, is that all?
He said, "Gentlemen, thank you for taking the time to review and discuss I Declare War. Cheers, LW." You're quite welcome. We enjoyed the movie.
I hope I wasn't a jackass last week. Anyway.
No more than usual.
Ha.
All right, so on to this week's movie, which is from 2009, The Boondock Saints 2, All Saints Day. Of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by Blanks and Squibbs, the real stars of the movie. You just can't make a gun-fu movie without them.
And also brought to you by Willem Dafoe. Accept no substitutes. All right, so we have our heroes. I don't know if anybody can remember the plot summary from, what, 40-something episodes ago? Or no, 140 episodes ago. My bad. Yes, this is 220. We did this originally for 78.
Oh, my.
So, yeah, this was back in the early days. Well,
you feel like second, it was that long ago.
Second year, I think, or third, maybe.
Anyway, very similar plot.
Well, yeah, the plot for this, of course, the last one ended with our heroes who were avenging. It was sort of an orgasmo movie that we had compared it to, or Super, or some of those other movies. Only it was before all of those had come out, except Orgasmo, of course. Orgasmo was 2 years before it, but Super and the other Kick-Ass, that's the one I'm looking for. It predated all of those, where just two regular guys decide they're going to become superheroes, and they their powers, of course, are just shooting the fuck out of people and dodging the bullets somehow themselves. And that's it. That's all you really need. Yep. But anyway, they avenge a whole bunch of crimes. They find their father and they eventually just disappear at the end of that movie. And for this movie, we find them in Ireland with their father just living a simple life on a farm until someone commits the murder of one of their favorite priests and tried to make it look like they had done it. Used their calling card of the pennies. Really just something to obviously get their attention to come back. And
basically calling them out.
Yeah. And so, of course, there's a lot of underlying mob war going on. Power plays and whatnot. And
a lot of random mobster 3.
Yes. So, they are taking out the mob, of course. They have, returning from the last one, the same three police officer detectives. Yeah, I think they were just detectives. And a new federal agent, because in the last one, the great Willem Dafoe met his maker, and he was replaced by a new federal agent who pretty much did the same shtick that he did.
Yeah.
And let's see. Really, as far as plot goes, a lot of people get shot. They pick up a new sidekick because they lost their sidekick last movie as well. Little guy that they just refer to as the Mexican, pretty much.
We find out a bit of backstory on their father.
Yes, we find out more backstory on their father and grandfather, even. And lots of people get shot, and hilarity ensues, you could say.
Now, this one was surprisingly long when I checked the time before I started to watch it. Because I was figuring about 40, like
Yeah.
most of these movies are.
Yeah, a little longer than your average, shoot 'em up,
2 hours, 19 minutes.
but this isn't really your average shoot 'em up fare,
No.
you know. They have, more of an epic bent to the whole thing.
Yeah, but it did get a little long-winded, is my point. It
Yeah.
could have been quite a bit shorter. They spent way too much time introducing, I can't even think of his name, the Mexican guy.
Yeah, that and the Roman.
I have him in my, oh, Romeo, that's it. I have him in my notes.
Oh yeah, that's right. That was Romeo and the Roman, I was thinking
Yeah,
too.
yeah.
Like there was this build up as to who the Roman is and stuff, but if it's a guy we've never seen before, it's not really that big a deal. He's just this dude that we've seen as a young man in flashbacks that set their father up, and now he's going to confront him. So there was a lot of time spent on that.
And it got to the point where about a half hour before the end of the movie, the big action set piece at the end,
Yeah.
I just got tired of overly stylized gunfights with techno music. I kind of checked out a bit. And I shouldn't do that in a Boondock Saints movie.
Well, that's kind of where I had to split it up. I didn't get to watch this in one sitting because,
Ah, okay.
well, I had that epic night last night to actually acquire a copy of this movie to see because Netflix pulled it. Yeah, so I had stopped right when they had gotten Judd Nelson.
Oh, okay. Basically, just before the big
Right.
climax.
Yeah, and then when I started watching it again, you're right. I was kind of thinking, wait a minute. So this whole thing is just going to be about getting the old man, just an old guy, and
It was
I mean,
about 2 hours of setup for one interesting scene that by the time we got to it, I was too bored of all the violence to really get into.
now honestly, I didn't have a problem with the stylized fighting and the kung fu, the
Gunfu,
techno, yeah, the gun fu, yeah, good term.
yeah. I enjoyed it for most of the movie. I just got tired of it by the end. Rolling back a bit, though, was very nice to see Rocco again at the very beginning of the movie. I knew we weren't going to get him for most of the movie from that point on, so it was nice to check in.
Well, yeah, and then he has this weird thing towards the end. This whole speech about being a man and stuff, and
It was a dream sequence that really just made no sense. It was basically an anti-PC rant,
yeah.
anti-political correctness, that really made no sense in the context of the movie. The brothers were dreaming about Rocco. So
Yeah.
this is how they worked the actor's cameo in that and a couple of lines at the beginning. And I didn't get the significance of the cat until that scene when he walked across the bar.
Oh.
And it's probably the best part of the original movie. Yeah, I haven't seen it in years, and now you're thinking about it and you're laughing.
Well, yeah, a lot of this had me thinking of the original, and trying to remember, what we thought of it and everything. So normally, the day of the show, day of recording, I listen to last week's episode, which now, considering the producer of the damn thing emailed us, I wish I had listened to it this today, but instead I listened
Of
to
course, yeah. I should have listened
episode
to our
78.
review of the original.
And god damn was I excited about the movie. You can
You loved
really
it.
tell
You liked it more than I did.
when you listen to that episode and you can hear, and of course it's funny because I'm listening to this in the middle, literally in the middle of watching or listening to, no, watching watching this movie. So kind of like, wow, I just don't feel that excited about
No,
this.
no.
And a large part, of course, is the absence of Defoe.
Yeah. Now, I am a fan of Julie Benz, who plays Eunice Bloom, his replacement. I've seen her on Buffy way back, No Ordinary Family. She's currently on Defiance. Very solid, very subtle actor. You don't really see her acting in a lot of roles, which I like. You see the acting in this one. She does a southern accent that was probably not a good idea.
Yes. And just the fact that she has the same tics as Defoe's character.
Although her crime scene technique is a little bit less dramatic.
Right. But still, she was doing the same thing. And the point of Defoe is that he is unique. You need to come up with a different thing. They're not just parts that can be swapped out.
But before we got to that, there was one thing I have to call out because I loved it. It was just a quick thing. They referenced the Warriors in French.
Reference the Warriors in
They're on this
French.
container ship coming to the US
Okay.
from Ireland, and Romeo has gotten into trouble with this big, tough guy.
Yeah.
And the guy has this pipe and he's dragging it along the ridges of these, big shipping containers. And in French, he says, "Warriors come out to play."
Oh, did yours have like English subtitles for that?
Yours didn't.
Well, they were in
Cover.
another language.
So the fact that they referenced
Dutch.
the Warriors in French impressed me.
Well, damn, I missed the joke. I mean, I could get a lot of, stuff when they switched to other languages. I could get a lot of what they were saying anyway, just from manner and expression. But that I missed.
Oh, and just nitpicking one little bit at the beginning. Why were they cutting their hair with knives? Because they find out about, the priest getting knocked off, in their style, and they were framed and all this, and they go to the barn, they dig out the guns, and okay, I get why the guns were buried. They were kind of, done with that part of their lives. But then they pull out these big Bowie knives, and by this point they have long hair and beards.
Right.
And they start cutting their hair with the knives, and at one point you see them with scissors and knives. Next time you see them, they're, short hair, perfectly trimmed facial hair with scissors and buck knives. No.
Why would that even be a priority? Could you fetch
Yeah.
that? Oh, our friend is dead. Let's go get a haircut.
And why wouldn't they have a razor on hand?
This beard thing has grown on too long. We need to get vengeance, and I need to be clean cut for that.
Yeah.
Vengeance requires perfect grooming habits. It's the one thing I learned from Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah. Also, there was this mini 70s action flick when they were about to, bust into this drug factory that the bad guy owned.
Oh yeah, I like that.
You liked that? I just seemed kind of random and unnecessary for me.
The whole idealized, the plan is going to go like this. And so then they just do this completely stupid action thing. And then of course when Benz comes to analyze what really happened, oof, this thing got fucked up. So they did the stylized, 70s action version of it, and then they showed what really happened.
I think that's one of my big issues with the movies. They tried to be a bit too comedic. I mean, the original had comedic elements, but they were very much a surprise. The cat.
Yeah.
Some of Defoe's lines. You didn't see the jokes coming. This time they were really winking at you.
Right. And the action scenes I was fine with. My problem with the movie is, in fact, yeah, the jokes. I don't think we mentioned jokes at all in the first one.
Except for the cat and a couple of Defoe's lines. That's all I can think of.
But they weren't even really jokes. They were kind of, they were there. They were things that happened in the movie,
That were fun.
and they fit with the plot, and there was a
Right.
point to them.
Right.
This kind of feels like it got Family Guide,
Yes, yeah, very much.
where they just, how many, racial stereotypes can we shoehorn in here? How many gay jokes can we shoehorn in there? I mean, there were some gay jokes that were really just kind of like, what? What is he talking about? How did that even come up? It was like the kid from the movie last week almost, where they're talking about erections or whatever. You know what I mean?
Right. Oh, and Rocco definitely was a better incompetent sidekick than Romeo.
Of course. Yeah, you can't replace Rocco with this guy either. It just didn't make any sense.
Incidentally, Troy Duffy wrote the part of Romeo, the Saint sidekick, specifically for his friend Clifton Collins Jr., just like he wrote the part of Rocco in the sidekick in the first film for his friend David Della Rocco. So he likes to write his friends into his movies, which okay, fine. David Del Rocco was great in the role. Clifton Collins Jr., not so much. Or maybe it wasn't the performance. Actually, his performance was fairly solid. I think it was
You know
just
what? I
the
was just going to
character.
say that. I think his performance was fine. Like, just like I think Ben's performance, well, aside from the
The
accent,
accent was a bad idea.
I think her performance was fine too, though. I think it's just the characters just didn't have much written for them. You know, like, did Ben's script just say, act like Defoe in the stage directions? I mean,
I think on the whole, this movie was just kind of uninspired.
yeah. That is a perfect word for it.
A lot of it is more of the same, except for the subplot with the father, which was very interesting. I would have liked more detail on that. Maybe like a prequel.
You know what? That would have been perfect. They do a prequel to this one, but I mean, yeah, just 'cause just having them as old men fighting just didn't make any sense.
Although I do have to give them credit for being sparing with Judd Nelson. He only had like two scenes. Because it was obvious stunt casting.
Yeah.
But they were careful with it. Also, I liked the gag in the bar when they met up with Doc and they were guessing his next swear word.
Yes.
Doc has Tourette's and it comes out as random curses. And I think it was Connor would start a sentence and the curses would fit right into it.
Those are scenes I could have seen in the first one.
Definitely. Especially the scene with Doc.
Yeah.
And, back to the issues. And I know it was a nod to Defoe, but it didn't seem as annoying when Defoe did it, actually seeing the fight taking place while she's talking about it.
I kind of like that method of telling it, though. I mean,
It bugged me in this one, especially in the last one where she's dressed up as Annie Oakley.
was ridiculous. Yes.
That was another one of those annoying, deliberate attempts at humor that just didn't quite work, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Also, I got to call out the obvious green screen when they're on the window washer's gondola.
Oh.
Bit distracting. And a good old-fashioned shoot 'em up, nowhere near as cool as it was a firefight. Because that was her, it was a firefight moment.
Yeah, that no worry. That's what I mean. You can't replace Defoe. Or if you do, you need to come up with a whole new character with a whole new thing.
Right. That's the great thing about, as you said, about Defoe's character.
Right.
He was unique. That character is unlike anything you've seen before.
Or since.
Yeah, or since. You need something just as unique. Oh, also, it took me a while to recognize the actor playing the old man. I don't know if we want to give that away. It
Oh,
was an interesting cameo. It took me a minute to
yeah.
recognize him.
I didn't realize it was him until I looked him up on IMDb. I didn't recognize him.
I think about halfway through the scene, because it was bugging me, because he looked familiar. Obviously, he's aged.
Well, right. He looked familiar to me too.
But again, with that scene, the problem with the movie is everything is a setup to that scene.
Yeah. And it's just kind of so the a bunch of people just come from out of nowhere and they start shooting.
Incidentally, after years of development hell, the success of the first film's DVD release is actually what got 20th Century Fox to make the sequel. So they had no plans on the box office, it was just because it did well on DVD.
And I just thought it was a planned thing that they were going to do one every 10 years.
Well, I think Troy Duffy intended for that, but they were a little hesitant to bankroll it based on the box office. Incidentally, 10 years later. A
Yeah.
sequel seems a little odd 10 years later. I mean, it takes place 8 years after the original, so I guess it makes sense, but
Yeah.
it just seems a little late.
And I think the next one's probably good. Is the next one planned for 19?
We'll get to that listener submitted. Actually, I think I'm pretty much done with my notes.
Oh, really? Just a couple of offenses
Okay.
that will penalize this movie and pretty much keep it from my recommending. It would be they used. There were just a lot of tired things that they used in the dialogue and the script itself. You know, they scratched a record player. You lose half a brain for that.
Wow. This is gonna be a low rating for you then.
And then you take something to the next level. I mean, I don't know if I'll take a half a brain for that, but I mean,
The actual phrase taking it to the next level, you mean?
yeah.
Yeah.
They actually used that.
I hate that phrase.
It might have been something if you used it maybe 15 something
Yeah,
years ago,
okay.
but to use that
Yeah, no.
even in 2009, yikes. So
All right, on to sequels and remakes.
on a sequels and remakes, what's the deal with a with Boondock Saints 3?
Director Troy Duffy spoke about a potential sequel in an interview on June 13th, 2011. He said that we've been approached to do a possible Boondock Saints TV series, so the fans may be getting a part three as a television show. We might be able to pull that off. I actually called both Sean and Norman, Sean Patrick Flannery, Norman Reedus, the brothers, and they both said, hell yeah, we'll drop everything. On March 21st, 2012, it was indicated by Sean Patrick Flannery and Norman Reedus that Boondock Saints 3 is being written and tentatively titled The Boondock Saints 3 Saints Preservus. However, on September 14th, Norman Reedus stated that there would be no third movie. Now, just an interesting side note, he said we'll drop everything in 2011. Wasn't he doing Walking Dead in 2011?
I think so.
So he had a pretty successful, Norman Reedus, this is, had a pretty successful series at the time.
That might be before Walking Dead, actually.
Could be, I'd have to check. I know, I'm pretty sure it was around in 2012. It's got to be more than 2 years old. Wait, aren't they on the fifth season?
We were talking about a Boondock Saints 3 even before that because we recorded in May of 2011.
Okay.
And you had mentioned that they were planning on doing a third one
Right.
then.
Well, that's not the end of the story. Again, on February 26th, 2013, Troy Duffy stated that he was getting together with Norman Reedus and Sean Patrick Flannery to resume talks about Boondock Saints 3, in the hopes that they could make the film a reality for fans. Later in 2013, at the Calgary Comic and Entertainment Expo, Flannery confirmed that Boondock Saints 3 is being worked on by Troy Duffy by saying, "After the recent tragedies hit Boston, I texted director Troy Duffy to ask him about when he would work on the third one, and he replied, on it." So the bombings in Boston spurred the making of the third one.
That's actually a pretty brilliant
Yeah.
idea for a plot, the Boondock Saints up against a terrorist cell.
Oh, yeah. Finally, on July 16th, 2013, Troy Duffy stated in an interview with Crave Online that he was halfway finished with the script for Boondock Saints 3. So, not a TV show anymore, now back to a movie. I don't think a TV show would have been as good. They couldn't have gotten away with as much, particularly with the language, unless it was HBO.
Right, HBO or Netflix
Yeah.
or
Ooh,
Showtime.
Netflix would be fun. I
Yeah.
don't think that was an option when they were talking about this, at least
Probably
when they were
not,
talking about the
no.
TV option.
You think about it, that's really just the last couple years, since House of
Yeah.
Cards.
Now, okay, so apparently it's going to happen. The terrorist angle could be interesting if they go that way. If it's just more random mobster number three, I might pass on it.
Yeah. They need to move out from the mobsters.
Yeah. All right, on to brains.
On the brains.
I didn't hate it. It was entertaining up until the last bit, when I got bored. Still lots of very creative violence. I am a fan of Julie Benn, so it was good to see her in it, accent aside. I'm going three.
I'm pretty close to you. Well, the first one I thought was just, I mean,
You gave it a
really high
five.
up on my list. Yeah, perfection. You take away Willem Dafoe out of that, though. That's a brain. And then you have some of the tired and stale writing. But you still had, I mean, the McManus brothers, of course, and Billy Connolly are still entertaining as hell. The violence is just beautifully done in this still. But, the script just not as good, so I'm gonna go 3.5.
All right. And what have we learned?
I need to calm the fuck down when we record these things.
And I learned that peace is the enemy of memory. All right, so until next time, when we'll be reviewing Congo. Oh, this will be.
Oh boy.
This is another case like Ricochet. Actually,
Oh
this was
boy.
worse than Ricochet because Curry and they teased Bruce Campbell, but we'll complain about that next time.
It's funny when we did the first one. It was after like this string of just horrendous movies. We had just done Easter Bunny Kill
Oh
Kill,
God.
Heaven's Gate, Ishtar, Waterworld, Bottoms Up.
Oh, okay, right. Bottoms Up we kind of liked, as I recall.
And
The
then
rest were crap.
Yeah, Burn After Reading, but before that was good, and then before that was like Leprechaun,
So,
Slipstream.
yeah, kind of like now, it's been a mix of good and bad.
Yeah.
And this was meh, and we're getting bad next week, so.
Oh yeah.
Until then, go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, of course the episode itself, which you're already listening to, links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and YouTube, links to subscribe via RSS and iTunes. Please leave us a rating and a review on iTunes, we'd really appreciate it. You also find the movie list, every movie we've reviewed so far, and every movie we're going to review. We're going to have to add a few more on that soon. We have Congo, and then the next one, and then that's all we have in order. You also find the request form. If you've got a movie you'd like to hear us review, please leave it on the request form. We'll get to it. And, of course, the recommendations list. I was very hopeful about this one,
Of course,
but
the
it
first
just
one.
didn't quite make it, especially at
Yeah.
the.
You know, when you have a high legacy to live up to
Yeah,
from.
it's difficult.
Yeah.
You can email us at zombietakeout.com or leave us a voicemail at 414-368-ZTO1 or for the alpha numerically challenged.
You can go fuck yourself.
Well played.
Thank you.
414-368-9861. Always remember that you'll always be calling from the middle of Milwaukee, and until next time, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you
There
are.
you are.
Someone thinks it's really clever.
By the way, after several years in development hell, the success of the first film is actually what spurred 20th Century Fox on to making the sequel.
Isn't that how it always works?
Well, oh, I'll take that again. I missed a line.